broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the one coast. What the hell
on the west coast? The one coast
on the west coast. 1 a.m. on the west coast. It is 12:05 on the west coast, and to 4 a.m. on the east coast. It's 3:05 on the east coast. Here it is a Saturday morning, and tonight at 7, of course, we are on our KFI show in Los Angeles. If you want to watch the video cast for anybody anywhere around the world, please do join us at philhendryshow.com. Our video cast is on right now. As a matter of fact, people can see behind the scenes as to how it is this show is done. Other things to mention to you. Trying to think. I think that that's just about. We got all kinds of things going. Of course, we have our website, and we have our merchandise store, and we have our all of the things that we offer there, including the archives, and as I mentioned, our archive video. So head on over to philhendryshow.com. If you want to join us on Twitter, we're there. We're all over social media, and by that I mean we probably don't get it, but we're doing it. Google Plus, I don't know about Google Plus.
Yeah, I don't know anybody. No, nobody I know about that. And everybody's using BlackBerry Messenger, too.
Yeah, that's what I heard about.
Well, you got to have a BlackBerry to do BlackBerry Messenger.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, everybody that I talk to says the same thing, which is essentially this. They say that it's all they can do to figure out damn Twitter and Facebook. I got Google Plus, and I know that there are people. I talked to Joel Denver, who will be our host at the National Association of Broadcasters. Joel loves Google Plus.
What did he do with it?
Well, I mean, he understands it. He gets it, he understands it, and he loves it. He loves it, man. And he's on Facebook. He loves the hell out of Facebook. I like Twitter for the many reasons that people give, which is that it's more of a conversation than it is sort of a presentation. But nonetheless, we're over at Twitter, and if you want to come over and say hello to us, and we'd be happy to talk to you guys, we're at twitter.com/realphilhendry, twitter.com/realphilhendry. We also have twitter.com/PHSideas. If you want to pitch an idea to the radio show, we're more than happy to do that. And I think Bobby Dooley is over there, and I think that Jeff Dowder, who we just heard this evening, he has a Twitter account as well. So join us at Twitter. Art Bell is going to be stopping by this hour. Anthony, in a manner of speaking, Anthony Soul will be, I was going to say Anthony Soul is going to be with us. How is that possible?
You know, that guy's a murderer, man.
It would be kind of cool. Anthony Soul, the serial murderer, will join us for a conversation. No, Anthony Soul gets the death penalty, and real witches are upset with the HBO hit series True Blood. Plus, should governments shut down social networks during riots? That's what we're going to talk about right out of the gate here. Check us out on the web at philhendryshow.com. All right, here's the thing. Facebook, RIM, what is RIM? Research in Motion, we'll find out what and who they are, will be meeting with the UK, the government of the UK, over proposed social media bans when it comes to controlling crowds, controlling people, and keeping them from committing violent, illegal acts. It's a very, very tough argument to make because, as I was just saying to Rance, and he was saying to me, you know, you can't really talk that way if you are saying, on the one hand, oh, we got to shut down social media, and on the other hand, you had the Egyptian riots and you had the Saudi Arabia, or you had the Iranian thing and the Iraqi thing, or whatever was going on. And I said to him, well, you know, look, I know the difference between what was happening in Iran and what was happening in Britain. And he says, yeah, you know, you're going to lose that argument in a democracy. You'll win that argument in Iran. If I say, I want to shut down social media in a democratic free society like Great Britain and the United States, when violence, when civil unrest, when this domestic violence erupts, because we have to keep people safe. All right. Well, then someone says, what about when it was going on in Iran? And I say, because the Iranian violence is being committed by the police. And furthermore, the Iranian violence is in response to these violent acts by the police and is under, it's all of it is underscoring a need for the people's wish for political change. What was underscoring the violence in Great Britain were people wanting free shoes, you know.
Well, what all about free shoes?
Well, what was it about then?
Well, I mean...
Yeah, what was it about? Oh, guy wanted to get a TV set.
No, it wasn't, man. It was about, like, you know, they shot that one man, you know.
All right, well, yes, the shooting of that man in Toppenden, I believe it was, or Toppington, or...
Yeah, it's called Topping Off or something.
Don't start screwing it up to be funny, okay?
I don't know what the name of the town is.
In Tottingham, that was it, Tottingham. Top it off. It was the shooting of that young man who was a father of four, a man of color, the very same things that set people on edge in this country, the very same things that will get people really pissed really fast in this country. It happened in Great Britain. Now, the reason why you had the reaction that you had in Great Britain, and in recent days we have in the United States perhaps a more measured response, witness the reaction to the New Year's BART shooting by the BART police officer in San Francisco. There's a very simple reason for this, and people, again, it really bothers me that I got to keep explaining this. It really bothers me. Well, you know, why don't we, I mean, look at America, there's too much police presence. No, there isn't. Let me explain why we in the United States, we used to have riots in this country, and by God, we may still have riots in this country if we're not careful. But as recently as Rodney King, we had horrifying instances of civil unrest. We had riots all through the 60s. We've had riots through the history of this country. Americans have been through it. We have experienced it. We understand what that kind of domestic violence, civil violence, what it means, what it accomplishes, what it doesn't accomplish. We are not as ready anymore to take to the streets to do those things because we have a far more understanding and responsive government, because that's what a good democracy does. It eventually learns its lesson and responds accordingly to what the people need. That's what a government is supposed to do. Now, I know there's a lot of people who are listening to me saying, oh, you don't get it, man, Phil. That stuff is still really bad and still this and still that. Yeah, sure. I'm sure it's real terrible. I'm saying in comparison, and I've always said this on the show, in comparison to other countries, the United States is light years ahead. And if you have a problem with how things are done here, and I don't blame you if you do, and things are probably really bad for a lot of people, I dare you to go find it better someplace else. The reason why I say that is not because we're so great. The reason why I say that is because the world is so backward. That's how backward the world is, that we seem like we're the top of the heap. And we are.
Yeah, but okay, so how come we don't riot and everything?
I just got done telling you, because we've been through it. We know what this feels like. We know what happens. Somebody got shot. Cop shot him. Where's the cop? Let's see the videotape. What happened? Americans, if you really want to be honest about it, we're far more patient with these things because we've been through it so many times. Are you kidding me? A young man gets shot in Tottingham. He's a father of four. He's a person of color. That's horrible. We got Rodney King, man. We got the videotape of a guy getting beaten repeatedly with these PR-24s and getting tased, okay? So whatever you think you got, we got it and more. So now what they want to do is they want to talk about shutting down social media in Great Britain. Facebook and BlackBerry maker Research in Motion, that is BlackBerry Messenger, for God's sake, are set to meet with Home Secretary Theresa May and other UK officials as the government investigates what roles the platforms played in organizing recent riots in London. Twitter, a service used by rioters and victims alike, said on a statement that it would not be joining the talks. We'd be happy to listen, the statement said. Facebook's official statement read a little differently. We look forward to meeting with the Home Secretary. We explain the measures we have been taking to ensure that Facebook is a safe and positive platform in the UK at this very challenging time. On Thursday, UK Prime Minister David Cameron alarmed free speech activists when he told Parliament that the government is examining whether it is possible to prevent suspected criminals from sending messages via social networking sites such as Twitter and Facebook. We're working with the police, the intelligence services, and industry to look at whether it would be right to stop people communicating via these websites and services when we know they are plotting violence. So the argument's really good. It's a tough one. You know, well, how come you guys get to do that? when you said that the Russians and you know all that stuff, they were or not the Russians, but the you know the Iranians. Well, you're right. It's a really good point. It's a really good point. However, here's the thing. The violence in Iran and the violence in Egypt and the violence now being committed in Syria is being committed by the government against its people. The violence being committed in the United Kingdom is being committed by criminals against the authorities. The violence that's being perpetrated in the UK, the burning down of buildings, is being committed by the people against the authorities. So in that instance, I would say, of course it's cool to shut it down. I'm never going to be able to sell it because people don't understand those subtleties. And law doesn't work that way. You know, the law doesn't. The idea of free speech does not work that way. If it's free speech for one, it's free speech for all. That's how it works. You cannot say, yeah, but in this instance, it's okay. In that instance, it's not.
So what do you think they ought to do?
I don't think they should go near shutting down Twitter and Facebook. I really don't. I mean, ultimately, you know who the decision should be made? It should be made by Twitter and Facebook. Let me ask you a question. If I operate a company and I know that my company is being used by criminals to further a crime, forget about what the United Kingdom thinks. Forget about what David Cameron thinks. And forget about what the United States or the Iranian authorities or anybody. Let's talk about the guys that run Twitter. Hi, are you Twitter? Yeah. Your service is being used by criminals to further criminal conspiracy and to incite violence. So how do you feel about that, Twitter?
Well, I mean,
no, really, no. Come on. Well, no comment. Oh, okay. Well, now we know where you stand. I mean, I'd put the pressure where the pressure should be put. I wouldn't put it on the government. I would just keep asking those that provide this service what they think they're accomplishing at this particular time. All right, we're going to come back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL is our number. Art Bell joins us. Plus, why are real witches upset with HBO's True Blood? PhilHendryShow.com for our website, for our podcast, for our HD video, our blogs, our merchandise. It's all there, PhilHendryShow.com.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. For patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. And now, Coast to Coast with Art Bell. East of the Rockies is just south of the Rockies. West of the Rockies is slightly northwest of the Rockies. And if you're south of the Rockies, you're actually north of the Rockies. And now, here's Art Bell.
And thank you very much, Ross Mitchell. And thank you, and all the ships at sea, and everyone everywhere, whatever you're doing, however you're doing it, we certainly do thank you, and we welcome you here to this version of Goes to Coast AM. I'm Art Bell, and I am here with you this evening. I'm very happy to be here with you this evening, although I may not be here with you next evening or the evening after that. I don't really know when I'm here or when I'm not here, because I just pop in and out. I'm almost like the Tooth Fairy, something like that. I just do the show whenever I feel like doing the show when I think George is screwing it up. I'm just kidding, George. And welcome here anyway to Coast this evening. What I thought I would do is dispense with the more glaring and the more garish aspects of Coast to Coast and give you an idea of what I have been experimenting with here over the last few weeks in segueing from my role as the primary and biggest purveyor of conspiracy, paranormal information, so forth. What I'm trying to tell you is that I am considering bringing back what was once my fondest dream, and that's to be a singer. And I know it sounds unusual for a lot of you who've never heard me sing, but I have had and will have and have had, had had a very great desire to sing, especially the popular rhythm and blues, rock and roll, and these sort of pop songs that you've heard me play on this program, such as that one. And so this evening, what I thought I would do is give you a taste of that singing styling that I'm hoping to affect here at some future date. But I cannot allow this program to move much further along without saying first that Twitter, you should have shut down the social media in the United Kingdom, not the government. What were you doing over the weekend with your thumb parked all the way up your rear end? Thank you. And now it's time for this song that I promised you. This is an example of what I feel I can do and what I feel I can offer here in the many, many years I hope that I still have on this earth. I've always had a dream to sing, always want to sing, always will sing. Pardon me for slurring my words, but that's kind of how I like to do it these days. It's not that I drink. It's just that I'm trying to chill. Here is my version of Papa Was a Rolling Stone. Man, this is a song that came out in the late 90s and early 70s by a group called The Temptations. I've chosen this song because this song, more than anything else, reflects my life. General Johnson Jameson is also... Are you there, General?
Yes, Art, I'm here. I'm very interested in...
Well, General, you'll be singing along, won't you?
I will, but I'm interested in hearing how good you sound.
Well, I hope that I do it justice.
I'm sure that you will. I mean, no question. Igor, record this.
Yeah! Go get
him!
This is the song, Papa Was a Rolling Stone. It was the 3rd of September. The day I'll always remember. Yes, I will. Because that was the day that my daddy died. It was the 3rd, I think this is it right here, isn't it?
Yeah, so.
Of September. Day I'll always remember. Because that was the day my daddy died. I never got a chance to see him, never heard nothing but bad things about him. Go ahead, General.
Mama, I'm depending on you to tell me the truth.
And Mama just hung her head, and she then said... And then she said...
Come on, Bill.
Hold on. Papa was a rolling stone. Wherever he laid his hat was his home.
And when he died...
All he left us was alone. Yeah, my papa was a rolling stone, my son. Wherever he laid his hat was his home.
When he died...
He left us all alone. Well, well...
Hey, Mama, is it true what they say, that Papa never worked a day in his life?
And Mama, bad talk going around town saying that Papa had 3 outside children and another wife.
And that ain't right.
Heard some talk about Papa doing some storefront preaching, talking about saving souls and all the time leeching.
Dealing in dirt and stealing in the name of... of the Lord, I think is what that says.
And Mama just hung her head and she said...
Papa was a rolling stone, my son.
Wherever he laid his hat was his home. And, wait.
And when he died, that's fine.
All he left us was alone.
Hey now, Papa was a rolling stone. Wherever he laid his hat, wherever he laid his hat was his home.
And when he died...
All he left us was a home. He left us his home.
He left us alone.
Left us alone. Well, that was pretty bad, Mark.
I don't think it was pretty bad.
No, it was. It was bad. It was, first of all, you didn't practice it, so you don't really know when the singing comes in. You just had that stupid bed.
Well, I thought it was a...
No.
Anyway, that is what I've been hoping to do, and that is what I did do. singing the song Papa Was a Rolling... Shoot. Papa's a Rolling Stone. I don't know. I'm sorry.
This is General Johnson Jameson. It seems to me that the Art Bell bits have run their course. First of all, in order for the Art Bell bit to be any good, Art has to be on every night, and he isn't anymore. Art is not even top of mind. And so it seems that, well...
Phil Hendry.
You're done.
I just...
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on this Saturday morning, and well, it'll be it is Saturday morning, and then we will be into our weekend officially here in just a few minutes. World famous Phil Hendry Show, and we are here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, and then tonight, Saturday, 7 o'clock Pacific time. Our KFI show locally in Los Angeles. You can watch the video cast here at philhendryshow.com. Now then, in New York, critics of bloody violence and excessive sex on TV have long had HBO's vampire drama True Blood in their crosshairs. But now the popular series has another group of wary citizens, witches. Real ones.
What do you mean, real ones?
There are witches, but they're not the kind of witches that ride on brooms and boil puppy dog tails and newts. Eye and all that crap, you know.
No, they're not evil.
Well, what do you mean they're not evil?
Witches apparently are not evil. That's a bad rap that witches got. Probably they got it from the Christian church, which, you know, witches and pagans were constantly vying with the Christian church for the beliefs of the average person. The church did not want the pagans to win that fight, and the church would... vilify, and of course, the pagan faith also did its vilification. But one of the things that that has survived is this view of witchcraft as being evil, or even to call it witchcraft. It's a religion called Wicca, and there are practitioners of it. And
yeah, well, you don't know, man. I mean, some of that stuff's kind of dark, isn't it?
You're right, I don't know. But what I do know about it, it's the stuff about black magic is horse dung, and it's way overblown. Anyway, listen. Now, this series, and by the way, HBO is a premium channel, which means you have to pay to bring it into your home. So you may criticize the programs, but what do you mean they got it in their crosshairs? They ain't going to do anything about it. What are you talking about? This is Reuters. Critics of bloody violence and excessive sex on TV... Well, critics of bloody violence and excessive sex on TV have nothing to say about a premium channel that people have to pay for to bring it into their homes. Don't be stupid. In other words, if it was on over-the-air television or on a cable service that you didn't pay extra for, but that it was just part of the basic cable package, you might have an argument. But if you don't like True Blood... Then don't pay for it, you moron. Who are you people that think you've got something in your crosshairs that's on HBO? You ain't got anything in your crosshairs. You may have a hair someplace.
Yeah, it might be crossed up, too.
All right, easy, bud. Anyway, the series' fourth season is focused on Marnie Stonebrook, played by Fiona Shaw, a seemingly harmless medium and leader of a Wiccan group who becomes the physical conduit for Antonia, a long-dead witch who was hell-bent on vengeance against vampires who persecuted and burned her at the stake. So vampires persecuted her and burned her at the stake. So in other words, this probably has little, if anything, to do with reality. Marnie winds up as the mouthpiece for Antonia's spell to drive the bloodsuckers of fictional True Blood... to drive the bloodsuckers of fictional True Blood town Bon Temps into the daylight. And that sort of deadly revenge, say some modern-day witches, is what gives witchcraft a bad name. I'm absolutely disappointed with the portrayal of Marnie, said one witch and professor of biology at a college in New England, who goes by the magical nickname of Tarna Ravenhawk. Oh, brother. When Marnie gives up her power within, which is a witch's ability to practice the craft without harming others... It allows possession by Antonia to become the All right, so in any event, the witches are saying that what they believe and what they're laying out is not being portrayed properly in this TV show. Well, join the club, witches, and anybody else, and you vampires out there, yeah, I know you're out there, join the club. They're probably making you look bad. I know vampires are probably cool. It's a TV show. Hello. And while you are afraid that you're being misrepresented, you're never going to be able to change it. And again, it is on a premium channel, meaning you have to pay extra to get it. And forget it, okay? I mean, allow them. I don't think you're going to ever, and I don't think anybody has ever been able to petition a television network, if you correct me if I'm wrong, and change a TV show.
Well, what about The Fugitive?
The Fugitive?
What do you mean it's a movie?
No, the old one, on the old Fugitive, they changed the ending, you told me.
Are you talking about the old Fugitive? They changed the ending?
Yeah.
I don't think that's true. I think that the word leaked from the East Coast to the West Coast and how it ended, but then somebody said they changed. I don't think that's the case. And I don't think that has anything to do with what we're talking about. You know, television is not going to change anything based upon the pressure they get from one of the most ineffective and laughably stupid. And I don't mind it if parents get together and complain about television programs, but when parents are not getting together and not complaining about television programs, and someone says they are anyway, and they come up with the Parents Television Council. This is a group that was organized claiming millions of members. No, you don't have millions of members. You got millions of people that you sent your stupid newsletter to. Now, it wouldn't be so bad if you guys were honest and really attacking shows that are bad for kids. You just attack shows you don't like. And then you call yourself the Parents Television Council. That means that you represent parents, which you don't. And it's just one more little bit of horse dung that people have to fight out there in the public arena of horse dung.
What about these witches? I mean, they got a right to be seen as being okay.
They got a right to be, yeah, everybody. How many witches do you know, bud?
None.
I don't know any. Well, I mean, I might know two or three, but I don't, it's...
What do you mean you know two or three?
I might, is what I'm saying. I don't know. But I don't think bad about witches. I don't even have any contact with witches. I don't know what the hell they want from me, okay? I don't think I've ever discriminated against a witch in my life.
Well, yeah, but you wouldn't know if you'd done.
I wouldn't have known if I'd done.
I mean, if you did, you would not have known it.
Somebody get him a drink, man.
No, no kidding, man. Come on.
You know what I mean?
No, I don't. You would not never had not done it. Anyway, there's a whole bunch of these witches. One is named Tarna Ravenhawk. Another one is called Bilbo Baggins. I don't know what the hell their names are. But they are talking about how uncool it is to be bashing witchcraft. Christopher Penzack, he co-founded and he's the president of the Temple of Witchcraft. Did I say witchcraft? Witchcraft, a religious nonprofit organization based in southern New Hampshire that teaches witchcraft to students worldwide, also had concerns about Marnie's negative impact on the overall reputation of witches. Marnie does communicate with the dead. I'm kidding. Marnie does communicate with the dead, but she comes into witchcraft lacking groundedness, said Penzack, author of The Inner Temple of Witchcraft, Magic, Meditation, and Psychic Development, available now at Amazon. A witch who gets good training usually learns to balance that with discipline, strength, and focus. I would have liked to see a witch who was more competent and had a clearer sense of will and purpose.
I don't know, man.
What a waste of time, man. Another red flag for Penzack is how Marnie had big... Oh, get out of here with this show, will you?
Here, let me have that.
You rolling it up, use it as toilet paper?
Yeah.
God, man. All right, so, you know, there's a whole thing now, not a whole thing, but I would say since Anne Rice, and we're going back almost 20 years, if not 20 years, the interest in vampires has been quite significant. And when Anne Rice began writing, and I shouldn't say 20 years, I mean, that's when the movie came out 20 years ago, Interview with a Vampire, but her books, I started reading the vampire books as soon as I got to Atlanta, so they must have been out for at least 2 years before that, like 1990. And so I was reading those books. I thought they were interesting because I'm into that kind of gothic horror, but I had no idea that it would become what it has become. It's definitely finally insinuated itself into the culture as a major bit of storytelling, using the vampire and using the witch and using all of these dark things to tell the story of the human race and humankind. But I don't know what it means, you know. I mean, the vampire thing, that's particularly... We try to give a good face to these creatures, but isn't the vampire... It's bad, right?
Well, yeah, it's bad, man. The thing's sucking blood and everything.
Yeah, the vampire's going to make you into what they call the undead.
Exactly. Vampire is not cool. The vampire is not a teen heartthrob. Vampires, if you read the original Dracula... Did you ever read Dracula?
No, I never read it.
I seen the movie, though.
Nah, it's got nothing to do with the movie. Nothing to do with it. If you read the book Dracula, the original book that was written by, what's the guy's name? Boris Batanoff. I forget. Who's the cat that, who? Frank Dover? Bram Stoker?
I think Bram Stoker.
Bram Stoker.
Yeah, it's a serial.
All right, so it's the serial Bram... Will you get out of here, the Bram Stoker? Bram Stoker. Frank Dover.
Ben Dover.
Yeah, Ben Dover. Anyway, Interview with a Vampire came out in 1976. Well, there you go. So, any hoozy, if you read that book, the vampire Dracula in that book is an odious creature. His breath is foul. He has hair on the palm of his hands. He just gives Jonathan Harker the creeps. Jonathan Harker is the real estate agent that goes to the open house. I'm kidding, you know.
Did an open house?
No, they didn't have an open house. Jonathan Harker goes to Dracula's castle to say, I say, son, you know.
Yeah, he bought him a castle.
He didn't buy him a castle. I think he bought him an abbey or something.
Yeah.
And he goes, sir, the abbey, it's beautiful. Here it is. Here's the layout. Here's the pool. Here's the spa.
Did they have a pool?
No, they didn't have a pool. I'm kidding, bud. So he describes Dracula as being a very odious creature. So there was nothing in the book that would bespeak a Dracula that is an attractive man or bespeak a Dracula that was alluring to women, at least not from a man's perspective. And again, you know, the book is told from the standpoint of diary entries. You have Jonathan Harker's journal. You have Mina Harker's journal. You have Lucy Wisterna, who is eventually the young girl that I think she's the first one to get vampired up. You know,
she got her blood sucked and she go vampire.
Yeah, I remember that part.
Yeah, Lucy got vampired. Anyway, there's nothing anywhere in any of these entries that would say, "Oh God, isn't he just the man for me?" You know, like. So what we've done is we've taken this classic of vampire literature, which is Dracula, and I don't know if it's the first one. I mean, you know, and we've, you know, done what we do with these things. We try to turn them into heroes. We try to make them more like us. We admire the power they have. We're scared to death of the power they have, and so we must change the mythology to make it more friendly. And make it something that we can live with and make it good. And that's when Anne Rice's vampire book started to get really boring is when she started making these good vampires. Man, I couldn't take that.
Well, what's wrong with that, man? They were living down in South Beach.
Yeah, what is that living in South Beach? She had a bunch of vampires living in South Beach, and they're cool. You know.
What do you mean cool?
They're just hanging out, and they're not hurting anybody. That's just I don't dig it. It would have been cool to have a whole coven of vampires living in South Beach and just turning the place into a wasteland of death and horror. It would have been great. Okay.
But you see, that's why they want to ban Twitter, because of the way you think and everything.
What do they want to ban Twitter because of the way I think, bud?
No, you got to go to commercial, man.
No. Hold on. I want to hear the answer to this. Why are they banning Twitter?
Because of the way you just said what you said about... They want to turn it all into a wasteland of death.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And what?
That's why they want to ban Twitter.
Hey, bud, there's no such thing as vampires, man. See what I'm saying? So even if I wanted vampires to turn South Beach or London or anywhere into a wasteland of ghoul death, I couldn't do it. Because there are no vampires.
Yeah, but, well...
You understand what I'm saying, man? Even if you got on and said, hey, all you vampires unite, there ain't no vampire.
Well...
You know what I'm saying, man? So just listen to what I'm saying, okay? That's why they want to ban Twitter, because I'm going to get on there and say, Vampires Unite.
That's all they're saying.
No, that ain't what they're saying. They're talking about those jackballs that are ripping off stores and taking sneakers and all that other stuff. God.
Easy, man. Your health.
My health. All right, coming back here on the Phil Hendry Show, does your cell phone need an airbag? Huh? Do you need an airbag? Do you need an air sickness bag? Amazon.com CEO thinks it might, but is the technology even possible? Are you kidding? Is the technology even possible? A cell phone airbag? Anyway, check us out on the web at philhendryshow.com. We'll be back with our final segment in a moment.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show in our news and information hour. And we want to thank, of course, Ted Bell for coming on with us. I didn't mean to make you angry, Ted. We were discussing the prospect of a football stadium here in the city of Los Angeles, which, of course, is relevant to all of it. You know, football stadiums are being built all over the country, and we wanted to talk about the economic ramifications of that. But apparently I didn't handle the commercials all that well, and Ted didn't even want to be talking about it, other than to say that whether there's a football stadium or not, he will own a luxury box. So good for you, Ted. Sorry to piss you off. God. And then we had Tim Steelworth, and we appreciate the Vietnam veteran joining us to take to task people that would think Rise of the Planet of the Apes is anything other than an anti-American tome. And exploiting the recent spate of chimp attacks. So, 877-876-PHIL is the number. Now, I know that Jason Rantz, our producer, had sent me the story about the cell phones needing airbags, but for whatever reason, I took it, wadded it up, and wiped with it. I'm joking.
Yep. I'll find it for you.
No, let's see. He's got it. It's right here. But before I do read that story, we have identified at least one bit of vampire literature. And, Bud, you found this?
Yeah, it's called Vampire. Then it came out. That's the one that Rance told about.
Okay, this is the one that Rance said? Called, what do you mean, Vampire?
Yeah, it's called Der Vampire.
That's German.
Okay, I know it's German.
Yeah, and that's German. And it was written by a guy named Heinrich, and that's German.
Yeah, a guy's name is German. The guy's German. Okay, what else?
Anyway, it's called Vampire. It was written in 1748. By Ossenfoner.
Let me see that. Ossenfelder.
Yeah. You know that guy named Felder? Okay, yeah. Is he Jewish?
I don't know if he's Jewish. What difference does it make?
Well, you know what they say.
You know something? I'm going to belt you. Poor Jewish people have had to put up with that their entire history in this world. Every time something bad happens, it's on account of them, okay? All right. Now, there's only one bad thing that the Jews ever caused. That was the 1919 Black Sox scandal, and that was one guy. Now then.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow, man.
I'm joking around. Come on.
Man, you're going to get in trouble for that one.
I'm kidding. I said it was one guy. All right. The Vampire, but I'm not going to read The Vampire. I want to get to this story we were going to talk about. Airbags airbags needing cell phones. Cell phones needing airbags. Airbags have saved countless lives in automobiles, but can they save your cell phone? Do you care? GeekWire reports Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos filed a patent application to develop a deployable airbag and other means to protect your phone when it's dropped. The patent application says 1 in 3 cellular phones are damaged or lost in the first year. I lost my phone. I'll never forget this. I left it on the hood of my car. I was visiting a friend. Now, I've walked into swimming pools. In fact, the very first cell phone that I owned, if not the second cell phone that I owned, I had it in the pocket of a bathing suit, and I walked into a swimming pool. Okay, great, fine, goodbye phone. The next phone that I owned, I was moving my car one night, visiting a friend, and I got into my car, and I had absentmindedly put my cell phone on the roof of my car. And then I was talking, and then I got into my car and moved it. Well, the cell phone fell off the car and hit the street. And I found it the next day I don't know that it was run over. It looked like it had been run over, but it still worked.
Oh, it still worked?
Yeah. It still worked for, you know, a couple months, and then it petered out. But airbag wasn't about... I'll tell you one thing that the airbag would have done. Had the phone fallen off the roof of my car and hit the ground and deployed an airbag, I probably would have seen it.
Yeah, you probably would have... You would have seen the airbag deploy, and you would have gone, hey, the airbag deployed, and I got to go back and see what, you know, what is that my phone, you know?
Well, it's bound to be my phone.
Yeah, well, why? Well, it could be anybody.
How often? What do you mean it could be anybody's, man? I drive the car, the phone falls, an airbag deploys. Oh, it's some other guy's phone?
It could be.
You know, within, I was the only guy out there that night, man. Believe me when I tell you, if an airbag deployed on a phone, it was mine. The world-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Jason Rance. Technical director is Dan Northcraft, and our associate producers, Chris Johnson and Fred Scotty. And for all of us here at the world-famous Phil Henry Show, remember our website, philhenryshow.com, our merchandise, and, of course, our podcasts and our archives. Until tonight at 7 for the KFI Show, a very pleasant good evening to each and every one of you. The Vampire, 1748, written by Heinrich August Ostenfelder.
Jawohl!
Roger.
Phil Henry.